Interview with Richard Arrington, City Councilman in Birmingham, July 18th, 1974.
Let me ask you first just about a little bit about your own background and how you got involved politically.
Well, I'm a latecomer to the political scene. By training, I'm a biologist, all of my degrees, from bachelor's through doctorates being in the area of biology. Entered into college administration about 5 or 6 years ago, serving as academic dean at Miles College after serving as chairman of the natural science division. I came to the center here, the Alabama Center for Higher Education, in 70, and sort of got into the political arena without any planning. I was approached by a group of young blacks that was interested in trying to run some people for offices here in the city. In the city election, they were particularly interested in trying to support what they considered to be new faces and people with new ways of thinking. And so I was contacted one night while sitting here in my office working, just received a phone call from a friend of mine and asked if I'd come to a meeting, and I was asked if I would agree to run for, frankly, I was asked if I would agree to run for mayor that year, and I said no, and then I was asked if I'd run for city council. I said I did, and I ran, and that was in 71. That was really my first effort at any political office. I had qualified to run for the State Board of Education about 2 years prior to that time, only to learn after qualifying that the law does not allow an educator to run for the State Board of Education unless he has been out of education for at least 5 years, so I had to withdraw.
Did you have support of the Progressive Democrats of Jefferson County?
I was endorsed on the ballot of the Progressive Democrats when the ballot came out. I did not consult with the Progressive Democratic Council at the time that I entered the race. However, my feeling was that I was in a position that I would get support from the Progressive Democratic Council. Turns out I was right. I could have been wrong, but I did not feel at the time that the council could afford to, not to endorse me. But anyway, I was supported. I did get their endorsement.
You're how old now?
I'm 39 years old.
And tell me a little bit about your experience on council. Did you have any prior political experience at all?
No,
including
I had
party active.
I had none at all. I think I was becoming more and more aware of the need for blacks, and particularly some of the younger blacks and some who have sort of reaped some of the benefits of older blacks in terms of getting education and some of the other benefits that blacks are enjoying as they move to the middle class. I think I was becoming increasingly sensitive to the need for us to become involved in the political situation and what the political situation means for blacks and the hope that it holds for blacks in terms of achieving what I consider to be full equality and freedom for black people in this country. But I had never before participated in the political race. In fact, I don't believe I'd even ever worked in a political race for candidates. I sort of kept an interest in it as a voter, and that was about it.
What happened after you got in that council race? How did you campaign?
Well, I was at somewhat of an advantage. I had just come from the position as academic dean at Miles College, and so I wasn't completely unknown here in the Birmingham area. Having served as academic dean at Miles College, and at which time Lucius Pitts, who was president at Miles College and was very active in this community and widely recognized as sort of the black leader in this community, I had worked with Lucius Pitts. So I had gotten quite a bit of exposure to citizen groups in the community, so I wasn't unknown. I had taken the responsibility at the time that the black citizens in Birmingham first approached the city government and the power structure in the city to do something about police brutality, and all of this eventually resulted in the formation of the Community Action Committee of ONB, which you may have heard something about, which is a committee of a biracial committee here that deals with problems here, and I think has made some significant strides in helping to alleviate some of the tensions, racial tensions, and deal with some of the problems in this community. I, at that time, was asked by Dr. Pitts to serve as the person who drafted most of the documents that were sent to the group, and so I got in on some of those meetings. So I was among what was called the 21 concerned black citizens who did go before the city government, representatives of city government, and people in the power structure here in this town to ask them to do something about some of the problems affecting black folks, which we felt that they could do something about. So what I'm saying here is that I had had some exposure to some of the leaders here, limited exposure. I was known for my work as an educator, particularly because I was connected with Miles College in Birmingham, so I wasn't completely unknown. When I entered the race, I got quite a bit of support. First of all, financial support. I got what I thought was good financial support contributions, mainly from the white community. About $7,000 to $8,000 that I raised in soliciting campaign funds. About $6,000 of that came from people in the white community, and they were mainly people who had had an interest in Miles College, and I had known them at Miles College. I got some help from the local Democratic Party in the runoff. I did the county party some financial help. And I got some assistance and some advice, particularly once I made it to the runoff, from veteran politicians, particularly David Vann, who is now in the Birmingham City Council, who was also running for office at that time, made certain suggestions. But in the general election, in a field of about nearly 30 candidates, I ran third in that field, and that was in a general election, behind two of the incumbents. I failed by about somewhere less than 3,000 votes, winning without going into a runoff. I still feel that I would have won, except about 6,000 votes were obviously invalidated, because you had in our system for the city council, you must vote for five people. The machine doesn't register your vote. And it has been projected, based on comparisons made in the mayor's race and in the council race, that possibly some 16,000 votes were invalidated. And the differences showed up mainly in predominantly black boxes. And I, of course, got my strong support in predominantly black boxes, so I felt that I lost quite a few votes in that race.
Let me ask you one more thing about your background. Are you a native of Birmingham?
Well, I consider myself to be, but I'm originally from Livingston, Alabama, which is down in the Black Belt area. My father and mother were sharecroppers down in Livingston, Alabama, which is about 100 and some odd miles southwest of Birmingham. When I was 4 years old, my dad and mom moved to Birmingham to work. Well, my dad took a job in the steel mills here in Birmingham, where he's incidentally still working in steel mills here. And so since 4 years of age, I've been living in the Birmingham area. So I sort of consider myself a native of Birmingham, because I grew up here. I went to elementary, high school, and even through undergraduate school here in Birmingham. And the only time I've ever left this city for any length of time has been when I've gone off to school to study, and I've always come back here.
How do you assess Operation New Birmingham?
Well, I think it has done some good things here. I alluded to that a moment ago when I was talking about the CAC committee. Operation New Birmingham, of course, is unquestionably a powerful organization here, because it has some of the leading civic figures and businessmen and so forth in the community on Operation New Birmingham. So I think it has done some good things here. I think it has been, I think it has made a few awkward moves that it should not have made. And has put sort of bitter taste in the mouths of some of the citizens, particularly in the minority community. I tend to think that if you try to weigh the pluses and the minuses and negatives, that Operation New Birmingham certainly has done more good for this city than it has done in harm. I think right now that a couple of things that people dislike, and a number of people, in particular blacks, dislike about Operation New Birmingham. One was the role that Operation New Birmingham played in the last city election through the organization called, the acronym was BAG. I can't even remember what that was, what that
Birmingham
stands for.
Birmingham Action Group.
Yeah, Birmingham Action Group. And despite all the denials that have been made by officials of Operation New Birmingham about their role, I think it is pretty obvious to anybody, anybody who bothers to look into it, that Operation New Birmingham did indeed play a role in re-electing the incumbents. Now, that in and of itself was not so bad, but I think it was the tactics that were used, which was in very subtle sense an appeal back to, you know, a racist appeal or racist feelings or emotions there. And people resent that about Operation New Birmingham. I think it was, that resentment was reflected in the demand a citizen made that recently that Operation New Birmingham be taken out of the community participation plan that the city government had come up with, or that the mayor's office had come up with. But I think that Operation New Birmingham has played an important role in helping this city to move along. Now, again, the problem with Operation New Birmingham is that I think it wants to define when, where, and at what pace progress and change will be made in this community. And it has been composed largely of people of course, upper income, some middle income people, but mainly people who identified as being in the power structure, so that it has not in the past been inclusive enough. I think it's taken some steps to try to correct that. Secondly, I think it's overly sensitive to criticism. Apparently, so many people feel in Operation New Birmingham feel that they never do anything wrong. Whenever Operation New Birmingham supports, that's it. That is obviously not true.
How valid is the criticism that Operation New Birmingham is overly concerned with image as opposed to substance?
I think that is number one priority is image. It has done something that some things of substance, but the Operation New Birmingham had, first of all, to try to change the image of this city, and it has done that. It has worked to do that. So I think that's a valid criticism. Now, I think if also you look at the progress we've made, you see that there are certainly some positive things. And
what would be some of these positive things?
Well, I feel that, to a large extent, we've opened up, first of all, because communication. Operation New Birmingham obviously gets the credit, I think, for that. And that Operation New Birmingham did take the lead at the request of the black citizens, that black citizen group that was called 21 Concerned Citizens, to set up some mechanism whereby there could be some discussion here of problems. That in itself for Birmingham represented a significant change in posture. Secondly, Operation New Birmingham has worked to support getting blacks placed on board, some of the boards. Now here, I must say that I think the Operation New Birmingham takes too much of the credit. And some of this literature, it takes credit for just about every black that was appointed to boards. And being a member of the Birmingham City Council, I know that is not the case at all. We have a council that's sensitive to blacks being on boards because of the black political power here in this community. But Operation New Birmingham has certainly moved to support efforts to get the black judge in the city of Birmingham, and I don't question that it did swing some votes on the council that were necessary to get a black judge elected. Places like the personnel board, where a three-member board that's very powerful in this city, controlling personnel policies for cities over 5,000 in this county. A personnel board, Operation New Birmingham got the first black appointed there, and I think this was really as a direct result of Operation New Birmingham. Operation New Birmingham has gone out to try to involve the community, at least provide a channel through which members of the community, particularly minority community, could at least present problems to city government or present problems to say, Operation New Birmingham. For example, concern about food stamps, distribution of food stamps to the poor. Operation New Birmingham has certainly worked in that area. It is working some in the area of education, and it's not done a lot then, but it is beginning to work there. It has worked some in the area of police-community relations and trying to get black police officers employed in the more particular recruiting notes to take the examination to increase the number of blacks on the Birmingham police force. I think Operation New Birmingham has played an important role in that. So things of that sort, the Operation New Birmingham certainly has helped within this city.
What can you explain to me what happened in so far as the that last city election, and particularly, well, let me tell you what I know. As I understand it, two things, and I'm particularly interested in. One, I understand that the Progressive Democrats did not endorse a biracial slate, even though there were some additional black candidates, and that this had an adverse effect in the black community toward them. And two, that subsequent to the election, one of the incumbent councilmen died, and that U.C. Clemmon, who had been the next highest vote-getting candidate, was considered but passed over in favor of a white candidate as replacement.
Yeah, well, before I deal with those, let me say one thing you have to know about Birmingham here, and I guess this relates more to the earlier question than to the two you just raised, is that as we look at the progress here in this city, and we look at the role, say, of ONB, and its Operation New Birmingham, you will see that we are still a city that's dealing very much with tokenism, particularly in the area of employment. I think Operation New Birmingham, again, going back to that question, has helped to, for example, to get blacks in positions in banks, again, junior management positions, and to open up a few other jobs here, opportunities. But we're still very much at sort of tokenism level. We have not moved away from that yet here in this city. And I think that also sort of represents the posture of Operation New Birmingham. It has wanted to say who the black leaders are going to be in this town. And they have anointed blacks with whom they could deal. They felt they could deal, and that could mean a number of things, as leaders. And they have been in a position to do this. I don't know for how long they will still be in that position, but they have been in a position to, as I say, anoint certain people as leaders, because Operation New Birmingham, in effect, represents a power structure. And nobody, any black can say he's a leader, but when he has problems, he's got to deal with, he has to deal with these people who make up the power structure. And if the power structure does not recognize him, does not sit down with him, so to speak, he is, in effect, not really a leader unless he has behind him some sort of very strong support, such as only, say, Martin Luther King has had in recent years. But getting back to your other question about the last election. Now, let me see if I can zero in on what was your first question on that, do you recall?
Well, I think it referred to the Progressive Democrats in Jefferson County, their endorsement policy and the effect of that in the black community.
Yeah. Well, in Birmingham, unfortunately, we still play, in particular in the black community, endorsement politics. Many blacks in this community, in this county as a whole, look for political leadership. And when they're going to go to the polls, they look mainly for a ballot. And since the Progressive Democratic Council has been the only organized black political structure in this county, they have, of course, had the corner on the black vote. And blacks have looked for them to distribute their ballots, the marked ballots, which are usually distributed through the churches and through the civic leagues. And I would say most blacks here have, for years, voted the Progressive Democratic Council ballot, whatever marked ballot it was. By this time I mean the last city election, the Progressive Democratic Council sort of shirked this responsibility, or abdicated, is my feeling. And that it came out with 5 seats available, it endorsed 10 folk. And in effect, say, vote for any 5. This was sort of a cop-out. I have not been able to fully understand it yet. I was at the council meeting the night that the screening committee came in with that recommendation and more or less railroaded it, ramrodded it through. It did make quite a few blacks unhappy. They were displeased. I think it served to sort of shake up the council a bit, because some of the black ministers, a group called the Interdenominational Ministerial Alliance, came out with its own ballot and carried a large portion of the black vote on that ballot, went for that ballot instead of the Progressive Democratic ballot. I don't know if the Progressive Democratic Council has gotten over there.
Let me ask you a question. Was Arthur Shores on the latter ballot?
No, he was not. And for that reason, he did not, in a number of predominantly black boxes, he did not get run in at, you know, among the top vote getters. And this has resulted in Arthur having to go into the runoff. Now, if you follow the runoff up, Arthur was, of course, a natural winner in the runoff. He could not help but win, in my opinion. He had to vote for three people then. I think, knowing the white community in Birmingham, that Arthur was by far the most acceptable of the blacks running. He was perhaps, let me just say he was, in my opinion, for white voters, the most acceptable person. And he still had a strong base of support in the black community, even though some blacks were a bit disenchanted with Arthur for their own, for different reasons, and had not voted for him in the other election. So I think Arthur was just a natural. He was surely, of all the people in the runoff, he was sure to win a seat. I do not think that it was necessary for Arthur to band together with the two white incumbents under the bag ticket. The advantage of that, I think, was to the other incumbents and not to Arthur Shores. But he did not get as strong support in the general election from blacks as he had got. And even in the runoff, he did not. He has run stronger in black boxes. I think it all relates to, back again, to the Progressive Democratic Council in the first place. And some people, of course, you know, some people were perhaps unhappy. They did not feel that Monsieur had taken a stand that he should have taken. Why this came up in after serving 6 or 7 years on the council, I don't know. But that's the way the political situation is.
Other question related to the aftermath.
What was that now?
When the vacancy occurred.
Well, when the vacancy occurred, some of us pushed for UW Clemens, and UW, of course, was the next in line in terms of the number of votes he got. However, that was strong opposition. Well, most of this is done quietly, but being on the council, being in some of the meetings behind closed doors, I know about a lot of the opposition that goes on. There was, of course, a lot of opposition to UW Clemens. We got letters from white attorneys in this town who were opposed to him, and I don't know. UW did not run strong in any of the white boxes, even though that was supposed to be liberal in this town. I don't know whether it's because of his image as an attorney who fights desegregation cases here or what it is. But he is obviously a very capable young man, as was two or three of the black incumbents who ran, very bright, very able people. But anyway, when it came down to a vote, when the council began, when we began polling the council on filling the vacancy, UW Clemens was more or less eliminated on the first informal poll we took as council. He simply did not have enough votes among the members of the council. Now, to what extent this is a result from pressure from other people on council members, I don't know, because a lot of this kind of thing is done quietly. People who might bring pressure, say, to keep UW Clemens off the council, or to keep council members from voting for UW Clemens, of course, would not come to me to say it, and they would not even bother to say anything to me. I think that they feel it would be futile. So many times when pressure is being applied, I never feel it directly. It is applied on council members, I would assume, who support positions taken by certain organizations, other organizations in the community. but he did not have the votes. It really came down to a minister, and start talking about the black, that was Reverend J.L. Ware. He was a black minister, and he was sort of in the running. He was more acceptable to members of the city council and the discussions we had than, say, Hugh W. Clement was. Some of the council members, including some who were considered to be liberal, who were generally liberal in their viewpoints, were dissatisfied with the type of race Hugh W. Clement ran. The fact that he criticized the city, and they felt that some of the criticism was unjustified. So he was just, he really, in my opinion, only had strong support from about two or three council members when it came to selecting the person. Mr. Heron was more or less there, who was a white appointed. It was more or less a sort of a compromise person, candidate. We had sort of deadlocked on people. One was Reverend Ware. One way I was a black minister, Reverend Ware, and on the other hand, a white businessman that was considered to be conservative, and we could not break the deadlock there. And so Mr. Heron was more or less a compromise candidate. He was sort of acceptable to everybody because he's the county Democratic committee chair and had worked with both groups and had kept more or less low profile. So he was sort of a compromise candidate.
What effect do you think is going to have the election of the increase from 3 to 15 blacks in the legislature, both in Jefferson County and statewide?
I think it's going to have some significant impact in changing the whole political situation in the state legislature. I think, first of all, it's going to make the state legislature more sensitive to some black concerns and to problems that may relate specifically to black communities, but at least the concerns that the black community would have. I feel personally that the blacks just going down from Jefferson County will mean that I will be a bit more influential as a local black elected official. I have felt in the past in dealing with the Jefferson County legislative delegation that when we dealt with matters that affected us locally, and of course we have to go to the state legislature for almost everything, we have no home rule. I have felt that I could contribute almost nothing to it in trying to deal with the white legislators from this county, and that if we wanted to get something over, even if it was something that fell under my committee, that I was chairman of that committee, that it did very little good for me to go down and try to deal with these legislators.
Which committee was
this? Transportation and Communication Committee. Even if we're trying to get the bill amended on the transit authority or what have you, I simply felt that I did not have enough influence and was not acceptable enough to the white legislators from this district. That would be changed.
Did many of those white legislators have the endorsement of the Progressive Democratic?
In the past, I would suppose quite a number of them have had the endorsement.
But even so, you didn't find them very responsive?
As a black, no. And I, somehow in this town, I don't know how much this has changed now, but because I've raised some issues that I felt need to be raised, and particularly the police brutality and this kind of thing, it, for some folk, I guess that makes them, you know, I kind of got it. At that time, in the way I was, it should sort of keep hands off. But well, all I'm saying is that, well, I'm not saying it's just because I was black. For example, I think maybe Arthur Shores, who was also black, going to the state legislative delegation, I mean the Jefferson County legislative delegation, would have had much more influence as a member of the Progressive Democratic Council, as a recognized black, one who's been in this community all the time, one whose posture is more or less acceptable to whites here, would have had much more influence, which means that he's perhaps a much better politician than I am. But now with the blacks in there, I would certainly have quite a bit of influence on the legislative delegation, because most of the blacks who were elected are friends of mine, and people I worked with, and I worked in their elections and so forth. So it will have some impact there, not only for me, for other black locally elected officials. And I think we're going to see some change in the way the legislature does business, particularly when it comes to matters that relate to blacks or particular concern to blacks.
Do you think it will result, this new legislature will result in granting home rule in Alabama?
I doubt it. I don't think so. As much as we'd like to have home rule. I don't think so. Even when I look at the Jefferson County delegation, I don't think we're going to see home rule. The push for home rule comes mainly from a city like Birmingham, maybe the largest urban areas. We have a lot of smaller cities that usually sort of gang up on the big cities here, the mayor's conference, the mayors from the smaller cities and so forth. And some of these representatives to the state legislature represent not only Birmingham, but in some cases, the way our lines are drawn, they also represent some of the smaller cities. And so that is going to serve to sort of minimize some of the strength that Birmingham might wield among the delegation.
What's your reaction to those black office holders who endorsed George Wallace?
Well, I guess I'm somewhat puzzled by it, to be very honest. I have not talked with Mayor down in Tuskegee, Johnny Ford, about that. Oh, I've talked with him about a lot of things, not about that. But I have talked at some length with Jay Cooper. He was a good friend of mine, and down in Pritchard, even up to the recent meeting of the Executive Democratic Committee. I'm a member of the Executive Democratic Committee here in the state. And, of course, at that committee, at that meeting, or just prior to it, you know, Jay came out, of course, endorsing the Wallace slate, so to speak. It was really a fight between the Wallace and the Van slate for control of the Democratic Party. And I've talked with Jay, but I'm puzzled by it. You see, people say to me that Mr. Wallace, of course, has changed. I don't know if he has it at all. He has an opportunity to appoint blacks to boards. He still does not do it. He's made, you know, recently he made one appointment. He appointed the president of my board here, Dr. Stenson, to ETD board. But Mr. Wallace has not appointed blacks to boards, so he must make about 1,000 appointments. And he still has not done it. That is not any indication of a man who has changed, as far as I'm concerned. Secondly, I look at things like the order handed down by Judge Johnson about hiring black troopers, and Mr. Wallace has done everything possible, I think, to sort of serve as an obstacle to that, to increasing the number of blacks. The people who support Wallace would argue that, and Mr. Wallace supporters also argue, and blacks who would endorse him argue, and his other supporters argue that if blacks would vote for him and give him some support, he in turn would do more for blacks. And of course, I guess I'm one of those people who argue that if he wants black votes, he ought to do more for blacks. So I guess it's a question, who makes the move first? I do think if you carefully analyze black, predominantly black boxes in this state last time, you're going to find that there's been some exaggeration by the news media about the my amount of black support Wallace received.
Have you done any such analysis or seen any such
I've only looked at the brief analysis done by Emory O. Jackson, who of the Birmingham World. He has analyzed several of the predominantly black, large black boxes there. And
what did he come up with?
He noted that Wallace got less than 10% in those of the votes in those boxes.
I talked to one person who said he did his own statewide analysis and said 12%.
Yeah, well,
heard others say yeah. 7.
Well, Emory Jackson took what I thought was a good cross-section of boxes, black boxes, and on that analysis, you know, I remember it was less than 10%. So I do think that's somewhat misleading. I think it's good for Mr. Wallace's image, you know, his national image. It is not necessary for him to openly fan the fires of racism anymore, because I don't think there's anybody in running. Mr. Wallace is so powerful in Alabama, I don't think there's anybody who is really to the right of him, or who, I just don't think he's even threatened in terms of losing his political strength here. What he had to do, I feel, was to try to slowly pull in more black voters, carefully do this, by not being openly offensive to blacks, but still he has not given up very much in terms of trying to get blacks more involved in the political process.
What would he have to do that would indicate to you that he has changed?
I think he would have to begin to appoint some blacks to some positions where decisions are made on boards. I think he would have to begin to do some of that. I think he would have to at least adopt some sort of sensible policy at the state level, or encourage or support some sort of sensible policy for increasing black employment, rather than always being opposed, appearing to be opposed to it, or still making it necessary for blacks to have to go to court to try to get employment opportunities opened up in state agencies. Just about all of these things that blacks can point to, or that Mr. Wallace can point to, that in the way of progress that blacks have made have come not as a result of any leadership from Mr. Wallace in this area, any sensible leadership in this area. It has come instead as a result of court action in most of the cases. Mr. Wallace, and in my opinion, Mr. Wallace and Mr. Nixon are very much alike in this respect and in their politics, and there's not much difference in it, except Mr. Wallace once was so openly racist that a lot of people who consider themselves to be respectable would not want to openly embrace him. They could not, even though they shared his viewpoints, but they wanted to be respectable, so they couldn't openly embrace a man who was considered nationwide and maybe even internationally in some scenes to be racist. I think Mr. Nixon has been able to cloak racism and, you know, give it a cloak of respectability. He would never stand in the schoolhouse door, but he certainly is against busing, and he's done taken some other postures as far as school desegregation goes. He would never say no to hiring blacks, but he's against quotas and so forth, programs that have proved effective in federal government for increasing black employment. And so it's the same sort of thing, but once in one place is sugar-coated and the other place it wasn't. Now, maybe Mr. Wallace is moving more towards the center where he's going to sugarcoat his, what I consider to be his racist views.
How would you feel if Wallace were on the Democratic National ticket in 76?
I wouldn't be happy about it, but I assume you're talking about as a vice president.
Right.
A candidate for vice president. I would support it. I'm much more interested in who is running as president than I am as vice president. And I am slowly becoming, I'm slowly coming to realize the political realities of the situation. I don't always like them, that's why I assume I'll never be a good politician. Some of the compromises I think they call for are sort of unacceptable to me, so I can never be ambitious in that respect of politically. But I think I would support it in spite of Mr. Wallace, assuming that that's a good, that's a presidential candidate that I
would
support.
Would you be interested in attending the convention as a delegate?
No, I'm not interested in attending as a delegate. I have become involved over the last couple of years more and more in politics. I ran for the county Democratic Executive Committee for my district. I ran simply because I want blacks to have more votes. I ran for the state Democratic Executive Committee for my district. I was successful in both of those races. I don't think that's necessarily good from my own viewpoint. Being a member of the city council, I think that provides enough involvement for me. But I wanted blacks to have increased representation, and I felt that I could win those races when no other blacks in my district could win, so I ran. I think the situation in this state is changing. I think a lot of young blacks coming along. We're going to see some of them in the legislature. We're going to see more of them in local government. They're going to be better prepared than blacks have been in the past, and we're going to begin to see the impact of that. We're going to see them more active in party politics, different executive committees and so forth. And this is where I think it ought to be. And this is really what I guess I'm more interested in that than I am anything else. And that is getting some of the young, capable blacks involved, not only in the politicals, on the political scene, but involved here in Birmingham in terms of who sits on these boards, who sits on these committees like the OMB committees. One of the criticisms I've had of blacks in this town is that the blacks who have been identified as leaders in this community have not reached out and included young, capable blacks, and they have not passed leadership on. They have taken the leadership. If they have been considered to be leaders, they've taken it and held it close to their chest, so to speak. And I don't think we have always been as responsive as it should be. But the important thing a leader must always do, I think, is reach out and bring into the fold other young, capable people, and this particular true of the black community. We must identify young blacks who have that potential, and we must bring them in. And if we don't give them that recognition, there's no way in the world that we can expect, say, the white power structure to give them that recognition. And I think we're moving that way, and that's what I'm particularly interested in, politically and in civic affairs and all. But it's a tough road.
Do you see the National Democratic Party of Alabama remaining a viable force?
NDPA?
Mm-hmm.
No, I frankly do not. I think NDPA has a few strongholds. How long they will hold on to those in rural Alabama, I do not know. I know Cashin well. I talk with him quite often. But I don't think it's a strong force. I frankly do not. Now, I think it played an important role. I think it influenced some of the policies made by the Democrat, the regular Democrats in this state. I think when NDPA came on the scene, won some races, it made the regular Democrats more sensitive to moving to try to include blacks, to get blacks involved. But I just don't see in the long run that it's going to be viable.
Looking ahead, what black organizations do you project as being having the most political influence in the state? We understand and keep hearing is that the Alabama Democratic Conference remains the strongest single black political organization.
That is true, it does, and I expect it will continue to be. You see, that council, like the Progressive Democratic Council here in Jefferson County, which is an arm of that council, is again the only organization here that really has an organization or anything like a machine. It is the only one that are organized. When I look at the council here in Jefferson County, it is the only group in this county that's organized, that has block captains, precinct captains, has units and all this. And I see a lot of people, and I meet with a lot of really young black folks who are concerned, including most of those who have just been elected to the state legislature, who have been dissatisfied with what the council has done and dissatisfied with the Democratic conference, Joe Reed's group. But being dissatisfied is one thing, and then getting out there organizing, being dissatisfied and complaining about it is one thing, and cussing them and saying what they're not doing. But to get out and organize, to do something about your dissatisfactions is still another thing, and that is what we have not done. I think that the group I think that the Democratic Conference headed by Joe Reed will still be the single most powerful political group here. I think, however, as was indicated in the last meeting we had with the conference, that the conference is likely to undergo some changes. It's likely to be not quite as, I don't want to say conservative. It has not been conservative, but it's going to share some of its decision-making power. A part of the criticism that the conference has been subjected to is that all of the decisions are usually made by a small group of folk, mainly Joe Reed, Arthur Shores, David Hood, about four or five people make all of the decisions. For example, on the state level, in the state Democratic Party, there are three seats that at large seats filled by the conference itself. Three blacks are appointed. We have to have a mechanism whereby there's input, particularly from elected officials and others who are Democrats in this state, as to who those three will be, rather than letting that decision be made by three or four people.
How much potential is there for there to develop a strong black elected officials association? I understand one exists, but it is not particularly strong at this time.
It is not particularly strong. It is fragmented. And I don't know. It depends. The extent to which we can do that will depend upon the response we get from groups like Joe Reed's. Now, I mean it this way. When there were no black elected officials, none to make mention of, it's a very small number, the Progressive Democratic Council, that's not the group, the Democratic Conference, as Joe Reed heads up, was certainly in a very strong position because it provided the only black leadership, political leadership, there was in this state. With more and more blacks being elected to office, blacks do have somewhere else to look to for leadership. They don't have to look just to that conference or just to the Progressive Democratic Council. And I think that Joe Reed and the Progressive Democratic Council and all of those of us who work with it, we have got to realize that we have got to give some consideration to the fact that there are a large number of black elected officials and that they were elected in most cases mainly by the black vote, and that they do then hold some claim to being providing some black leadership here, and that they ought to be doing it. Now, if they would, if they would unite and come together to do this, I think they would undoubtedly be the strongest group. However, I think you're going to find that some of the black elected officials are very pro Alabama Democratic Conference, and some are sort of anti. And as long as you got that kind of fragmentation, the black elected officials will not be strong as a group. But we got a new group of black elected officials going to the state legislature.
They're mostly younger people.
Yeah, they're young. Many of them have some anti-Democratic Conference feeling, and it stems mainly from the fact they feel that two or three people have run it and have not shared the decision-making power. Now, we have got to respond to that, and if we respond to it in a positive manner, by saying we're inclusive, by reaching out to bring these folk in and not sitting back saying, well, we're here, and if you want to be a part, come on in, we got it, you know. If we respond, and I said this to Joe Reed, I said it to the whole group when we met at the Parliament House just before the State Democratic Executive Committee meeting, that we, if we intend to be representative, to continue to be representative, we have got to reach out and make sure that these people know that they are welcome, that they can participate, they can have something to say about what goes on.
Is the main conflict in age, old versus young?
Yeah, but I don't think it stems from that directly. I think it's related more to the way that some of the older members, I think they're more conservative in that. This is not unusual. I think it is.
Do you see yourself in a position to play a middleman role in that?
I would like to be. I would like that position more than any other I could think of. I would like to be, and I don't know if I can do that at this time. And on the political scene, I guess people have suspicions about everybody who runs for political office. Some people feel, I'm sure, that my major interest is, every politician's major interest is to keep moving up. I don't have political ambitions, so I'm not running for mayor, contrary to what people say. That doesn't mean I may not one day run for mayor. Doesn't even mean I won't run in 75, though at this time I have no intention of running. I try to analyze things and be realistic. I don't know. All I'm saying is I'd like to play that role. I have tried to some extent to play that role. I believe, more acceptable to